You're listening to the audio production of A Burning House, Redeeming American Evangelicalism by Examining Its History, Mission, and Message by Brandon Washington, published by Zondervan and read by Charles Ray. Forward read by Rick N. Jones.
To Sherry, the beloved wife of my youth. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Reese, my sweetest daughter. Psalm 144, verse 12. And Ellis, my favorite son. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5.
Forward. In any relationship, there will be arguments and anger. Truth will cause sparks to fly. My best relationships are the ones that survive the sparks. One of my best friends in the world and I have had our share of spats. In the more intense disagreements, we don't speak for a week or so. However, we end up talking again and moving on despite the lack of agreement. With others, truth and disagreement can reveal the relationship's expiration date. We have experienced in our day a schism of sorts in Western Christianity. It's not an overtly public schism, although there have been public fights. But in the 11 years since the fatal killing of Trayvon Martin, and other police-related shootings of unarmed black men and women, there has developed a divide in the American church so deep that it defines fellowship. On one side are those who acknowledge systemic injustice and racism, and on the other are those who believe they are myths. The first group desires to get a full-bodied picture of our historical past involving racism to do an autopsy on our pending missiological death. The other views the past as moot, and not requiring further study. As a pastor, when I enter a counseling session with someone, I want to know three things: if and when they met Jesus, what they need, and what their family history looks like. People are always a product of sociological, emotional, psychological, and spiritual upbringings under which they were raised. That rearing environment is the stew that brewed them. To ignore their past would be a great misstep. It can inform me of the issues and story that produce their needs. The same is true of our broader culture. It is critical that we visit the formation of the social construct of race. It has been weaponized to affirm one group and disparage others. Many within the evangelical movement seek to sweep the past under the rug and classify any talk of race as critical race theory. Once it has been tagged as CRT in those circles, it can be vilified and ignored. Massive damage has been done by attributing biblical assessment of partiality in America and the church to CRT, making it nearly impossible to find common ground to deal with the overt and covert challenges of race in our world. Our familial past plays a role in our familial present as believers and humans. It is impossible to ignore the effects of chattel slavery. Its impact is still felt in how blacks are viewed and how we view ourselves. You cannot ignore black codes that were put in place to stifle the progress of the descendants of African slaves in America. How can we forget Jim Crow, which attempted to govern the access blacks had to human equality in states that enforced these laws? From redlining to the so-called war on drugs, descendants of African slaves have experienced a great deal of challenges in being valued as fully functioning citizens in this country. At every phase of our country, many white Christians have played a role in both promoting racism and suppressing its systemic reality. During slavery, many said, "Where in the Bible did slaves seek to be free?" The Bible never makes that move. At the same time, they supported the American Revolution and Declaration of Independence. During segregations, others said, "Protesting isn't biblical. We must honor government." Yet, they stood outside of abortion clinics with pictures of unborn fetuses to communicate the importance of a pro-life ethic, not just from a spiritual standpoint, but from a socio-political standpoint as well. And more recently, when blacks fought for social reforms to counter decades of entrenched systemic racism, many evangelical pastors said, "Politics don't belong in the pulpit," although politics appear all through the pages of the Bible. Yet, these same people use their pulpits to encourage their congregations to vote.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?